BC's leading queer resource center, including GAB Youth, education outreach, generation for aging and elder members of our community, volunteer services, Pride Line information and referral line, anti-violence resources, coming out and social support groups, free counseling, meeting spaces, and the Out on Shelves library. For more information, visit Community on the web at community.ca. Community proudly supports Queer FM Vancouver and the amazing programming on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
A Loving Spoonful presents Project Empty Bowl. Project Empty Bowl has become an annual signature fundraising event for A Loving Spoonful. The sole purpose of Project Empty Bowl is to raise funds so that A Loving Spoonful can continue delivering free meals and nutritional counseling and education to men, women, and children fighting HIV/AIDS. Project Empty Bowl will be happening at the Coast Cole Harbor Hotel on June 22nd. Visit alovingspoonful.org for all the details.
Hey, it's Aiden Saint. I'm still alive. It's still Rainbow 24 LGBTQ Voices 2012. I have in the studio the lovely Miss Mia.
Hello, Aiden.
Hello there. So we went on a little adventure.
A three-hour adventure to the Cobalt on Fraser Street.
Yes.
On Main Street, pardon me. Excuse me. It's getting late, folks.
It's getting a little late.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what I was referring to was the adventure of going around to all and talking with many of the different BDSM and fetish events that make up, well, sort of the nightlife of Vancouver.
Yeah, sort of the more alternative BDSM side of Vancouver. So we got to showcase some of our lovely events within the Metro Vancouver area, including Metro Vancouver Kink, Rascals Play Club, Noir Fetish Ball. There's some great interviews. You're going to love it.
So we're going to get kicked off right away, and I believe this is, we've got Rascals and we have Noir Fetish Ball, two fantastic people in Gem and in Reeve, of course. So sit back, enjoy it. We'll have a little bit of music in between occasionally here and there, but
we'll be here.
We just wanted to share an alternative viewpoint and some other places that you can go in Vancouver and... Well, it's after hours, so enjoy it. We certainly did. And this is Rainbow 24 on CITR 101.9 FM. Hey, we are here at Rascals. Rascals is one of the premier clubs here, one of the play parties here in Vancouver. For Rainbow 24, we wanted to meet with their lead... are you the dominatrix of this place, or?
I'm the driver of the car.
This is Sandy, this takes place at the Wise Hall, and the Wise Hall has never looked so good.
Well, thank you. We have quite a few volunteers that help decorate it. Plus, it's a beautiful building. It's a heritage building, so you can't beat that.
How long has Rascals been going on?
Actually, we're in our 10th year. The first party was in April 2002, and we've been doing parties on the third Saturday of the month for the last 10 years.
Wow. Now, you've been here. You've actually... This is Miss Mia.
Well, hello.
You've been on the poster here.
I have, actually. A couple years ago, it was when I had... I'd only really been around the Vancouver Kink scene for maybe 3-4 months, and so it was an honor to be on your poster. And it was a great introduction to kind of the kink scene in Vancouver. Kind of wondering, like, what makes Rascals different from the other play parties? Like, we've also got MVK going on in Vancouver. We've got Noir that started recently. So what sets Rascals apart from the rest?
Well, we're lucky that we do have so many choices here in Vancouver. But I would say what sets Rascals apart is it's geared for the serious player. This isn't, it doesn't really so matter what you're wearing. It's about the seriousness of the lifestyle. And we've got some very friendly people here. It's a great building, so the atmosphere is fabulous, and our dungeon equipment. We have 15 pieces of equipment, some of the best and most uniquely designed in the Lower Mainland.
And some of it has been custom designed for you, correct?
Most of it has, yes. Most of it was made by Brian, the original starter-upper of Rascals.
And he's also doing another event now. He's started up Fetish Fridays.
Yeah. I think, I don't know how regular it is, but he, out in New West, I believe.
Yeah. Another great event going on.
It's a great venue, too.
Well, I'm curious because when you say serious player, now we've talked to, we'll be talking with Reeve at Noir, and that's more of a dance party.
Exactly.
MVK is a really great place if you're brand new and you want to learn some new skills or polish some of the existing ones. So when you talk about serious and the lifestyle, for someone who doesn't know what that means, what does that mean?
Oh, gosh. Well, people who... There's quite a history behind BDSM, and it's all based on trust and consent. And I guess the people that take it serious live it, you know, more seriously than, say, somebody who just wants to go to a club and wear some kinky clothing and hang out. The people that come here...
You come to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Fantastic. If someone was new and they wanted to come to one of your events, what do you recommend? How does one go about that? What do they expect? And are the people who are fairly serious about it going to take someone who's rather new very well? Some cities I've been in, that isn't so.
Absolutely. No, here at Rascals, there's a lot of seasoned players that have been doing this for a number of years, and they welcome the newcomers. They would rather, help somebody find their way than have them make mistakes that could, potentially be serious. And Rascals know we welcome all new people, even voyeurs that want to just watch and sort of sit in the back and see how it's all done. But there's lots of friendly people here. We have a newcomers table.
You guys also employ the, I don't know who started that, but you also employ the sticker system so that people can find, playmates based on whether they're a top or a bottom. So it kind of is an introductory way for bottoms to meet tops and know who's available to play and if they can ask.
Absolutely, exactly. And there's usually quite a few people here, some of the regulars that are seasoned players that are happy to, beat somebody for a few minutes if they want to feel like
just
it.
So they can see what it's like.
Well, give them a little beating or a spank. Or a bruise or two,
which you yourself enjoy, basically, at your party.
Now, I have to say, being from sort of the gay male culture, I have to say the sticker system sounds pretty fun because it can be very embarrassing when you're going based on the old hanky code.
Exactly.
And that might be a light color green or a dark color green or with this light, it's red light in here.
Yeah.
You could accidentally find yourself in a compromising position.
Yeah, for sure. No, the stickers work well because that just, if you're wanting to meet somebody or play at Rascals, we've got the three stickers, the top, the bottom, and the switch, and it just helps identify you that you're open to playing at the party.
Now, I'm curious, you've been here a long time, and so you've gotten a chance to see all kinds of people come and go and fantastically creative scenes. I'm seeing some equipment around here going, well, hey, we might have to stay a little while. And but seriously, what's one of the most interesting things you've seen as far as, someone was wearing or a scene or someone got married? Or...
Oh, there's so many. There's a fellow... who's the creature, and it's a fully self-contained, stimulating, sucking, leathery kind of apparatus. There's a photo on our website. I just can't do it justice describing it. We've had Elwood strung from the ceiling and flying through the room 20 feet in the air by hooks through his back.
I thought it was amazing.
The whole place just went quiet. It was almost spiritual. It was just so beautifully done.
And this woman was so excited about it. I met up with her before, and it's going to be so hot. He's going to be hanging from hooks, and it's just going to be phenomenal. She was so stoked.
Well, BDSM is a lot more than, you know, spanky spank type thing.
Oh, definitely.
Scenes can be so beautiful. The intimacy, the trust, the depth, it's magical. It really is.
So you make magic.
I do.
How did you first find yourself in the scene, and how did you get involved with Rascals?
Oh, gosh, that was probably about 10 years ago. I found the scene totally by accident. I mean, they can't tell, but I do have cowlicks, and that's from putting my hand to my forehead doing, oh, my God. You know, I'm an Albertan. It was a little eye-opening at first, but the Rascals was the first event that I went to, and I just loved it. I couldn't believe how friendly and warm everybody was and how normal they are. You know, like, even though we do some odd things that would appear odd, the people here, you know, they're doctors, they're mothers, they're fathers, they're lawyers, they're nurses, they're regular people that just like to hit each other. And
and when did the... I have to ask, because we passed this on the way in, and Aiden's got quite a sweet tooth, and I actually don't know the origin. When did the cake, the celebratory cake at the end of... Because that's what I remember from every Rascals play party. I've never seen anything like it. And there's always a celebratory birthday cake at the end of every play party-ish.
Well, I started that in 2006 when I took over Rascals. Just keeping an eye on whose birthday it was, because I really do believe that your birthday, you know, you should feel a little special. So every month I have a list of people whose birthday it is, and at 10:30 we have cake, and it's strange, but it works. And I go around and I sing happy birthday to whoever's birthday it is.
And she really does.
I really do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we're catching you right before your party, and so we're going to step aside and let you get on with the day. But if someone wants to get some more information, they want to see, your website or when the parties are going to be or how much it costs, where would they go to do that?
Our website is www.rascals-club.com, and all the information is there.
Well, fantastic. Well, we are talking with Sandy at Rascals, and we're going to let you get on with the party. Thank you so much for lending your voice to Rainbow 24.
Excellent, and thank you, you guys.
All right. This is Aiden Saint, and...
I'm Miss Mia.
And we'll we'll see you at the next party.
Hey there, this is Velvet. And Velvet said, get in a group. Mm-hmm. Some people don't just like it one-on-one. Some people don't like to go it alone. Some people like all of the above. Some people like to be that much more adventurous. And they like to involve more than 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 people. Yes, you can do different things when you're in those kinds of groups. And you can watch. You can participate. It's exciting. And the energy that is provided by having more than one person in a group is really, really, really uplifting. I can't stress this enough. You're talking with different dynamics. You're enjoying people. You're being creative. You're possibly learning something. And you're seeing all kinds of different things take place. Because people like different things. And it's so energizing and so much charge energy taking place that to be in a group is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Trust me. I know. I've been in several. And I like the energy that comes from it. And it's not only just the energy, it's the sexual energy as well. I feed off of it, and I know many people feel the same. It's charging, and it's something that you can possibly bring back to your partner if you have a partner, and if you're playing with your partner, seriously encourage you to try it and check it out. You can look for these people, you can do all these different things. Sometimes it comes naturally, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the energy of a party is good if you're in a room full of like-minded people. It'll happen. It'll take place. I'm going to tell you where you can go and look for these kinds of different things, because I bet many of you are wondering, well, how does one get involved in something like that? Am I the right kind of person for it? Am I going to meet like-minded individuals? It's a big deal. Ah, no. Once again, Velvet says, look in the right spot.
Hey, it's Aiden Saint. We are...
outside the Cobalt, and this is the most unique interview that I've done in the years here with Queer FM, because we are interviewing Reeve, and Reeve is now sitting on my motorcycle. Hey, Reeve.
I noticed you took the key, so I can't actually go anywhere. not saying that I would necessarily, but yeah, it's a nice bike. It's a nice bike.
Yeah, thanks. I'm here with Miss Mia.
Hello, lovelies.
And we are outside of the Noir Fetish Ball. See, I said it right this time.
You got it.
And it's really kind of bittersweet for me, because this is my last one before I leave for the States. Since this is going to air on June 1st, there's something kind of new happening for Noir Fetish Ball.
Well, first off, let me say that you're going to be missed.
Aww.
Both personally and as a community. We're definitely going to miss you. So,
well, I'll have that $50 kickback for you later. So what's going on with Noir?
Noir's moving. The Cobalt's undergoing a format change. And so next month, well, this month, as people are listening to this, June 16th will be our final party here at the Cobalt.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Then we're on the road. We've got a new venue all lined up. We're keeping it a secret.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
We're very excited, actually. You know, when we learned we were losing the venue a couple of months back, there was a lot of time spent looking, and wow, it was one of those really crestfallen feeling. Are we going to be able to do this?
Rending of clothes, gnashing of teeth, that sort of thing.
All of that. The Cobalt's undergoing a format change where they're going with early shows where promoters will do it, and then later in the night, the Cobalt runs it, they keep the door. You know, in these financial times, more and more bars are finding that they have to make all their money on the weekend, and they're looking for every little extra bit they can. So,
oh, yeah.
No hard feelings to them. Like, they have been a fabulous host and home to us for better than a year and a half now. But yeah, the long and the short of it is that in the very end, we ended up finding a venue that we think is truly unique. It's going to bring a lot of stuff that we'll be able to do that we aren't able to do here. We're excited.
So for all the listeners across Canada and the United States, tell us, what is Noir Fetish Ball? And you know, I guess that's a good first question, yeah.
Noir Fetish Ball is a fetish night. So
yeah.
People come out, it's in a bar, there's some drinking, there's some dancing, there's some great music, and everyone has to get dressed up in kink wear. Now, there have been a lot of fetish nights over the years here in Vancouver. I came into the scene through the Betty Page Social Club, further back than I care to remember.
Yes.
And then, you know, the big one, everyone knows Sin City now.
Yeah.
Coming up on its 11th anniversary.
Yeah.
This year. I ran Cirque du Soud, you know, quite a few years back for a period of time. But what was missing here in Vancouver for a while is the kink was kind of getting pushed to the back.
Right.
Which is just the nature of the evolution of a night once it's been around for a while. More and more people hear about it. They start coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're mainstreaming it. Well,
yeah.
Or rather, it was getting mainstreamed. And that's great. We want to be out there in the mainstream. We want people knowing about this. You want people coming out and supporting all of that. But one day, I'm at a fetish night, and I say to someone, why don't we go check out the dungeon? And yes, I was flirting. But I wasn't inviting them in to play in the dungeon. I was saying, why don't we go take a look at the dungeon? You can take a look at it. Then I've started that other conversation. And they said to me, I don't really like the dungeon. You know, I don't even like to think about the fact that it's here.
Huh.
And I suddenly realized this was, you know, certainly the minority, but it wasn't completely unique to this one person. And the dungeon had always been great. When Sin City started, I ran their dungeon for them with Bio. They were fabulous. We loved it. The people, now the Vancouver DM team, they do a great job. They're running
yeah.
it. But it's this back room. And I said, you know what? We want to find a night. And it was really the impetus. I'd thought about starting a night again, and that was the impetus. I wanted a night where we could put kink front and center, where it was in your face. If you didn't like the dungeon, you weren't going to come to my night a second time, because it was going to be there. And so that was one of the prerequisites for finding a venue. It was like, I didn't want to have to, you know, it was like, I didn't want the dungeon to be in the back room. I was going to put it out near the front. It had to be seen. And then we found the Cobalt, and it's like, we'll put it on the stage. You know, it's like, you come into the club, you see the dungeon before you see the dance floor. Now, if it's not busy yet, You just see some equipment. But when it's happening, you walk in, you're walking, and you're walking towards that. Then you see the dance floor. Then you see the bar. If you want to go to, you know, if you're drinking at the bar, you can see the dungeon from there. If you're on the dance floor, you're next to the dungeon. If you're headed to the bathroom, you're beside the dungeon. It's dungeon, dungeon, dungeon all night. And you know me. Yeah. I came from running dungeon parties for 7 years before realizing, hey, that I was done with that. And there were plenty of people coming up to do that well and great. Plenty of people doing fetish nights well, too.
Yeah.
Aaron, Mr. Dark, who's no longer doing them. DJ Pandemonium.
Yeah.
Kudos to everything he's given and done to this community over, you know, 11 years now. And while Mr. Dark was doing it, that was 10 years. But we wanted to do our own little twist on it. And, well, I shouldn't even say our twist, our own little twisted.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. And so that's what we're doing.
Now, I'm curious because we're going around to all the different fetish and dungeon permutations around Vancouver and kind of doing a digital snapshot here of that. How does Noir Fetish Ball differ from, say, Rascals or MVK or that new new one
Fetish
out
Fridays.
In... Yeah, Fetish Fridays out in New West.
Everything's got its own little flavor. First off, Rascals and MVK, both dungeon parties. Fabulous nights. I regularly go to MVK. I go to Rascals, except it's happening, you know, unfortunately, there are only so many Saturdays in a month, and it happens the same night that we run. But they're dungeon parties. In the case of MVK, it's no bar, and you don't have a DJ. You know, it's just they throw music on. It's in the background. It's an afterthought.
And it's more focused on the
education. And the play. In the case of MVK specifically, part of their mandate is education.
Yeah.
Kudos and power to them. And I go regularly and find I'm learning stuff again. You know, I thought, you think after so many years, you know a lot of it, or most of it, you tell yourself. And then you learn there's more that I don't know and can learn about than what I already do know.
Now, I have to say, one of the things that having been around the scene longer than I care to admit, one of the things I never cease to be amazed coming to Noir Fetish Ball, because not only is it fun, not only do you have really competent and really friendly staff, but I walked in today, and one of the demonstrators for later is doing a thing with electricity, with static electricity play. And he pulls out a suitcase of all these toys way past anything I've ever had. And I went, wow.
Well, you've seen it all before.
But it was pretty amazing. I was very, very impressed. How do you get, what's your criterion for some of you had demos and things here? It seems like you have some really knowledgeable people that come and do demos and do things for you every month.
Well, we spend hours and hours and hours on the phone booking people. No, I wish that were true. Actually, I'm glad it's not, I should say. We're just really fortunate. We've got a great community here. People will call me up sometimes and say, I've got this idea for a scene. I want to come out and do it there. Is that? And I'd be like, yeah, no, definitely. We'll put some time aside on the performance platform. People have heard about us. They know that. It's great. When you go off to Rascals or MVK, you can show off your skills and people stand around and they admire. And they're a very knowing, aware audience. Here, you've got that element, but you've also got the club kids who are exploring this. And this is a lot newer to them. And so when they see it, they're like, wow. They're like, ah. Mm-hmm. And so it's attractive for the presenters to come out and do that sort of thing because they like to see that, you know?
Yeah.
We all like to stand tall and feel like gods for a night. and there's more of an opportunity for that when you're around the this crowd. And even if you have, when you've got the people who don't know as much, they're fetish nights, I should say dungeon parties, people just want to be, you know, they don't, you don't think you can break into applause too often. When you do, when it happens, and I've seen it happen at MVK, that's an amazing thing. Here, people feel a little looser to do that. Maybe it's the drink. I don't know.
Well, I like the fact that it's a good mix of different kinds of people and different experience levels. And that's one of the things that makes Noir Fetish Ball so attractive to me. It's not a dance or a stand and model crowd as much as it is a nice mixture. And that's why it's attractive for somebody like me. And hey, maybe it's a first introduction for somebody that, you know, they're not really sure.
It is. We're finding a lot of that. Just last weekend, we were out at the Taboo sex show, and so we're in the dungeon with pretty much everyone else. Sin City sent some stuff out. They weren't able to be there as a full presence themselves because they were running. But Rascal, Rascal, who now runs Fetish Fridays, Brian, he was there. MVK was there. We were there from Noir. And people would come in. This is out in the valley. And you sometimes, just a couple of times over the weekend, you'd see that glint of someone, their eye, and it was like they'd found Oz. This is what they needed. I know we're going to get some of those people out tonight, not least of all because one of them must have emailed me half a dozen outfit pick selections. He's like, will this do to get me in the for dress code? And it's like, no. By the third time, I'm saying yes. And then he kept emailing to say, I've got this to add to the outfit.
Oh, there you go. Now, for somebody who's uninitiated to Noir Fetish Ball, what is acceptable dress code?
Go to the website, noirvancouver.com, and you'll find there's a dress code page. Mm-hmm. It tells you right there, you know, it's no streetwear, no casual wear. You're going to have to throw on something fetishy, leather, PVC, lace. For women, it's easy, I always say, you know, just pick some really sexy lingerie and wear that. And guys are always saying, well, you know, it's so much harder for a guy. I've got to make that big investment. And I say, it's no harder. Talk to your girlfriend, borrow her sexy lingerie, and wear that.
What's the most frequently asked question that you've had over the years, or the one question that's been asked over and over and over?
The one question that's been asked over and over and over. First is... What gets me past the dress code? Will it hurt? I never get tired of hearing that.
And only if the mistresses at the front door don't approve, basically.
Yeah.
You have the lovely Maggie Pye at your front door.
And yes.
She's amazing.
She is. She's great. I've known her a long time. We used to be roommates. My other door mistress, regular door mistress, can't be here tonight. Kinky Tink, who used to run bio with me. Big shout out to the sick Kinky Tink. Get better so that we'll have you back here. We're really lucky in the staff we've got, not just at the door. I love the Vancouver DM team, but they're always rotating. You don't have the same amount of consistency. I said, you know what? We want consistency. I know some good people. We'll go out and hire our own dungeon staff so that all the time you're seeing the same faces. It makes a little bit of a difference for people, for the newcomers especially.
Mm-hmm. What are your aspirations for Noir Fetish Ball moving forward?
I hope to get a little bit bigger, but not too much bigger.
Yeah.
We're kind of happy being the smaller of the nights. We recognize that there's a group of people, like I said, those people who aren't going to want to be right next to the action, we don't want. It's not that we don't want them. You got to be comfortable with it, though.
Right.
You got
right.
to be. We like the fact that we've got a great, amazing, respectful crowd. That we haven't picked up some of the looky-loo crowd yet. What I do hope is to put on, you know, some bigger show stuff. I want to wow the crowd occasionally. We think we've got some ideas for how we're going to do that in the future. My goal back when we ran Cirque du Sod, and this venue didn't fit that name, we used to dream about, you know, hanging people from the ceiling, letting them drop down, fire axe. It was going to be a cross between, you know, old night was called Cirque du Sod. I wanted a circus planned by the Marquis de Sod. We've scaled that back to a little more realistic, but only a little bit.
Well, Reeve, much success to you moving forward. It's been such a pleasure. I met you a dozen years ago in the Big Bad Bio days, and I'm just so ecstatic to see how well how far you've come and what you've been able to accomplish in the city.
Thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for your help and efforts along the way when that's happened. I would be remiss. I really want to mention my side project here.
Yes.
Which started off as this little side project and has steamrolled into a big project of its own that a lot of people have said they're going to start participating in. And that's eroticvancouver.com. Erotic Vancouver magazine it started as a directory site, and now it's sort of turned into this online magazine site in addition. We've got pages that'll tell you. If you want to know about fetish nights, you'll find the information on all the fetish nights that are happening in the Vancouver area here, there. You'll find out about the dungeon parties. You'll find a page that tells you about the swinging community and the polyamory community. Page for GLBT stuff. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to... We recognize that nothing can be all things to all people, and we're not trying to be that thing, but we're trying to be the thing that tells you where you go to find that.
One of the things that I've been struck by coming here a dozen years ago and coming back to Vancouver is that if you wanted to have one or two people that you'd look to in the city that were kind of the ambassador for kink or the ambassador for... That would be you.
Now you're making me blush.
I really appreciate it. It was nice. It was nice coming to the city and knowing, okay, well, I at least know of these people. And it was great to know that you're still here and you're still, you know, entertaining people and still giving them a safe place to get their kink on, to learn a little something. And, hell, you even have a photo booth here.
Yeah. Awesome. We're pretty lucky. DJ Logic, my partner, who was also doing that demo with the electricity, he and I have been very lucky that all these people have come out to support us, to help us, whether you're just coming through the doors and attending the night, or in the case of so much of the community, who are finding a way to give. Frankie, running the photo booth.
Yeah.
The great friends who have agreed to come on board and be staff here. We've just been really, really fortunate. And we're not the only ones. I mean, there are so many people in this community who want to give. I'm really passionate about throwing great events. I've been, you know, doing this since my parents would go away. Not the kink stuff, but my parents would go away on vacation and it would be like, party at the Doig House. I'm just really fortunate to be able to keep doing that sort of thing, keep throwing great parties, having the people who want to come out and support them, and so many great people who help make it possible, because this, you know, this is far from a two-man show.
Well, one more time, if you want to check out Noir Fetish Ball, you can go to
noirvancouver.com, and of course, you can also get to us and every other kink night, swing night, poly night, I could go on. By visiting eroticvancouver.com, Erotic Vancouver Magazine. It's your guide to all the alt-sex stuff that's going on in the city.
Well, that's fantastic. We're going to let you get back to the party. Rainbow 24, this is Aiden Saints.
And I'm Miss Mia.
And
I'm Reeve of Noir Fetish Ball.
Catch you next time.
Hey there, this is Velvet. And Velvet said, try it, kinky. This is where I like to play. It doesn't necessarily mean about BDSM, which is bondage, domination, sadomasochism. People think when they hear the word kinky that they're going to get a red-ass spanking or something along those lines. Or as most people like to say that are outside that whole world, a good beating. I don't think the word beating is a good thing to use when it comes to anything kinky. I'd rather say treatment. Many people are into different things into that whole realm, and what that boils down to is communication and negotiation, especially when you're dealing with somebody else. Somebody that's maybe into the same thing you are, maybe not into the same thing you are, but they want to try it out. You need to play the game of 20 questions. And in the world of kink, oh, there's fetish, there's role play, there's dressing for pleasure, there is bondage, there is domination, there is sadomasochism. It's all what you are into, but doesn't mean that you're into everything being part of the world of kink or being kinky. It's a fun way to expand your horizons, and a lot of what kinky's all about and playing around with is the mind. Getting the mind involved with the body and learning to be submissive, dominant, all these other different things that sometimes, and actually most of the time, I believe comes naturally. But that's entirely up to you. You have to understand it. You have to learn about it. And once again, get out there and read the right material for doing something different outside the bounds of what you normally would. And that doesn't mean that you should judge somebody else because they're into it. Hey, what they're into could be just as good as you are. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be out there raping and pillaging and murdering people just because they're a little bit different in the bedroom, don't you think? Once again, I urge you to check it out. And this is Velvet. Velvet saying, open your mind.
Today, CITR is painting the airwaves rainbow. Starting at 6 a.m., CITR programmers will be producing an entire day of queer content in celebration of Pride season around the world, delivering messages of hope, fun, warning, and whimsy that may also include offensive language, sexual themes, and excessive on-air nudity. Listener discretion is advised, while indiscretions are strongly encouraged.
Hey, this is Aiden Saint from Queer FM Hawaii. You are listening to Queer FM on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hello, everybody. This is Miss Mia coming to you from 101.9 Queer FM, and I am here at Metro Vancouver Kink, MVK, Metro Vancouver Kink, with Sarah and Jay. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Jay. I am the president of Metro Vancouver Kink.
And this is Sarah.
And I'm the chair of West Coast Bound.
And we are currently in the, well, the front room of this amazing play party that is going on behind these doors here. As you can probably hear, there is a lot going on, so we are going to do this interview to the best of our ability. We have a play party going on today, and I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about how MVK came to be and how it ended up where it is now.
Well, MVK started a number of years ago under the name of Bio.
Yes.
Run by Reeve and a committee of people that he had helping him run it. And they got to a point where they decided that they needed to grow a little bit, have a little bit more community involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So they developed a steering committee that basically out of that came MVK, Metro Vancouver Kink. And since then, there's been three different presidents, me being the last one.
The last final greatest.
Yes, thank you. And from there, it's just been growth year after year. It just keeps getting bigger and better.
Now, when I first went to MVK, it was Capri Hall, yeah. Yes. And you guys have actually had the opportunity to move into a much bigger venue now. So it's actually now at the Maritime Labor Center, which is where we're doing this interview. And the play space is huge. Like, yes. You guys have so much equipment here now that you didn't otherwise have access to before. How are you finding everybody, like, kind of adjusting to the new space and everything that's going on?
Well, since we've come here, our attendance has actually grown, probably because we have the bigger space. We're able to put out more equipment. At the old space, it was about 3,000 square feet. We're running in a space now that's about 7,000 square feet. So we've gone from being able to put out about 10 to 12 pieces of equipment to now putting out 20 to 25 pieces of equipment.
And Jay's been instrumental in building new equipment too, which is really nice.
What sort of equipment have you built?
We have a nice new piece called a bondage gazebo.
Now Aiden and I were just in there and we were admiring this mastery of a gazebo. I hadn't actually gone in there and envisioned, what if we had like 6 or 7 people swinging from here? Like, it would just be insane. But do you find that it definitely ups the amount that people use the play space now that you have so much of it?
Yes, and people, so far the bondage gazebo, bondage is a big thing right now.
Yeah.
People like to do suspensions. So we built this piece. It can hold up to 5 people on it very spaciously, all swinging around, having a great time.
Now, have they done that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, many, many times. It's been very full. It's a very popular piece.
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, the attendance has gone up, and you guys have this great space now, and you also do an amazing amount of educational workshops, which is something that, when I first got into the community, I believe my first event was Sin City, which is also a great event. But what I've really loved about MVK is the just plethora of different educational workshops that you do, everything from teaching the art of flogging to the carrying of your top, and just recently today I think you guys had the what to do when things go wrong. What can you tell me about that workshop?
That workshop was presented by Max and Russell out of Seattle.
Yeah.
And they came up here, and basically that class is just for beginners so that they can learn what can happen.
Yes.
Now, it's not the end of the world when it does, but here's what you can do to prevent it.
Yes.
And to remind some of our more experienced players that here's some things you got to watch for and you got to be careful of it. It was a 3-hour class. It was incredibly well received.
Yes.
And very well attended.
Did you get to attend it?
I didn't. I had to work out front. So.
That's the thing. I remember when I used to come and help with setup and stuff like that. It's just actually difficult to get into the workshops yourselves when you've got all this. And it is. I can't believe if you're not here, you've never been here, you definitely got to come and check it out, because it is just this massive play space and so much to do. So... Also, I wanted to kind of highlight where you guys are kind of going from here, and what is it that you want people that have never been to a kink play party or anything like that before? What can you tell them about coming here? And they might find it a little intimidating.
Well, we try to make it as less intimidating as possible. We have greeters here that when you come to the front area, if you just simply ask for one of our greeters, you'll get walked through the whole space, you'll get introduced to a whole bunch of new friends, you'll learn about the different rules and what different pieces of equipment do. If you've got questions about it, you're going to find that just about anybody here is quite approachable, and you can ask questions, and people are more than willing to talk about their experiences and their kinks and really enjoy it. And it's a great place to enter into it, especially with our education component. We're constantly bringing up new people every month.
Yeah.
We have classes that are right from the beginner to advanced classes, and it's just a very inviting space.
We find, too, that when people are new, if they come and volunteer,
yeah,
it's often the best way for them to get acclimated to the space and to the environment.
Yeah, that was actually leading into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, too, is how people can come out and get involved if they've never been out to something like this before. Volunteering is obviously a good way. You guys are always in need of volunteers, and I believe that if you come and you volunteer an hour or so of your time, that you can get into the event for free.
Yeah, basically the way our volunteer hours work, you do 2 hours of volunteer work and you get in for free. You can bank hours if you do more than two, or if you just come and volunteer and then have to go home that night, you can bank it towards future time or towards purchases of memberships. But the event in our organization is run primarily by volunteers.
Completely by volunteers.
If we don't have our volunteers, we don't put on the events. So volunteering is the best part about volunteering is you get to, if you volunteer at the snack bar or at the front desk,
yes,
you meet everybody.
Yes, as we can see, the lovely lady over at the snack bar is doing right now. I don't think I've seen her have a spare minute all night, so.
No. It's a busy place.
Definitely. Now, you guys also have a lot of resources here. You over in this table in this great room that we're doing the interview in, there's a lot of reading material, a lot of kinky reading material that you can either, how does that work? Can you rent it?
Yeah, it's a lending library for members.
Yeah.
And anybody can come in and borrow a book. And then bring it back when they're done with it.
Definitely.
It's one of the perks of membership.
And you guys have intro courses as well for people through MVK as well, right?
Yes.
Yes, we have a lot of introductory type classes and whatnot.
And that'll kind of give you the general rundown of what goes on at a BDSM party and what you might see and the rules as well. So
yes.
You don't have to get your hand slapped.
Yes. No, we have that posted over all the tables. There's rules and what sort of etiquette and things like that. But the greeters generally go through all of that. So generally if you get to meet a greeter and they introduce you around, they're going to explain all the rules and try to make it not as scary.
And because education is so important and such a central part to MVK, we've gone kind of in the direction of doing the one-on-one classes by donation so that they're accessible to everybody and so that anybody can come and participate and learn how to do it properly and learn the right skills.
Yeah, and I think it's great what you guys do because, as in the Metro Vancouver area, there isn't a lot of places like MVK that offer the kind of workshops and as big of a play space as, some other places, say, other kink events that go on.
The other thing about MVK is that it's a dry event as well, which I think that some people find it intimidating to go to play events that have alcohol.
Yes, definitely. I've known that to be the case, even with myself. I think Sin City was my first event, and I think I found it to be, kind of okay that I was able to come to a place and just kind of have a drink and get to have a look-see, but the way that you guys have kind of modeled this event is really effective for the community, and so I'm thanking you for all of that. So I think that we are going to go in and enjoy this fabulous play party that is going to be going on, and I thank you both for your time and taking time out of your busy schedules.
And one last thing to mention, if you want more information, please go to our website, which is www.metrovancouverkink.com. All our bylaws, all our rules, everything are there. The monthly play parties are there. All the information about volunteering is all there. If you go to a site called FetLife.com and join that site, it's a social site where you can join and connect with other people in our community. And look for a group called Metro Vancouver Kink, and you'll find more there.
A plethora of kinky information that will satiate you.
And one last thing would be to mention that on top of that, Sarah runs our annual conference, which is called West Coast Bound. And that
we changed
happen.
It to West Coast Bound now.
We have changed it to West Coast Bound.
I was not aware of that.
Yes, yes, it's been changed.
Why the name change?
The name change happened from Westward Bound because a company in the UK that makes latex is called Westward Bound Latex.
You were treading on toes.
And they wanted the name, and so we, rather than get into a big fight with them, we decided that we would take on a different name. It was an easy change. West Coast Bound is a very simple name.
Definitely.
Very simple name change.
And you guys have had that very well attended for the past couple of years, so congratulations.
Yeah, it's been incredibly well attended. Most of the conference runs, there's generally 40 classes, everything from beginner classes to very advanced. There's 2 play parties in that weekend. It's basically an entire weekend with people from all over North America coming.
Yeah, I got to go to the first one, and I think that was the first year you guys ran it, and that was a very full weekend of just, you know, kink overload, but it was so much fun. So if you actually get a chance to go out and experience that, I would do it. It's totally worth the price.
One quick question. Who is welcome to attend at MVK?
Anyone and everyone.
Anyone and everyone.
You should come.
If you're curious,
if you're
please
curious.
Come out.
So gay, bi, trans, doesn't matter. Everyone's welcome.
We have a very wide assortment of people here today.
Yes.
So there's a wide range of various different kinks and everything here.
Looking fabulous, I might add.
Yes.
All right, awesome. So thank you guys so much for your time. And Metro Vancouver Kink, come check it out. They have play parties on the first Saturday of every month at the Maritime Labor Center. I'm Miss Mia, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hey there, this is Velvet. And Velvet said, open your mind. That's right. Chances are, if you're already listening to me talk, you have an open mind and you want to learn a little more. There is so much to learn and there's so much to see and do and there's so much to hear. So when you're out and about and you're meeting new people and something comes across your path in terms of conversation, maybe a picture, maybe some art, maybe an attitude, that doesn't mean to close your mind and judge. Be receptive. You are hopefully going to learn something. I did and I have. And that means from different cultures, different walks of life, different people, different religions, different ethnic backgrounds, different cultural beliefs, all kinds of different things come into play with the world out there because we are different. And I want to see what that's all about. I'm a sponge. I like to absorb information. And when I'm absorbing information, I'm generally talking about sex. I'm absorbing information about the rest of the world, and some of it's good and some of it's not so good, but at least my mind is open and I'm not closing it. I'm not shutting down and I'm not judging. I'm not judging other people based on what they're doing. Doesn't necessarily mean we're all going to get along in the bedroom. It means that we're hopefully going to get along in the social settings. We're all going to enjoy each other's companies and we can talk about different things and laugh and giggle about fun things, talk about different things that may not be in your social circle or in your realm of interest. And that's not a bad thing. You don't want to go out there and hurt somebody and punch somebody just because they have a different belief. It's a different ballgame if someone's punching you or hurting you. That's a whole different ballgame, and we're not going to talk about that right now. But I'm talking about opening your mind to new ideas, fresh situations, and fresh people. And you've got to learn it, and you've got to be social. Once again, this is Velvet, and Velvet says, take it.
We're back at Mel Rich's Coffee House here in the Village. I've got Reed Dalgleish here. He is, well, he's the driving force of this really, really cool party in the men's community. It's for all you rubber fetishists out there. And Rub Out has been going on for, well, how long?
We just finished our 21st installment in April.
21st installment?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, I was telling you off air that I've been around the liver community a while. I'm not going to say how long, so there. But One of the coolest posters I have ever seen is your latest, the superhero poster. So tell me about Rubbouts. How did you get involved and what's the history of this? Because it's really well known.
We're hitting kind of a critical mass the last couple of years, especially since the 20th anniversary, which we kind of went overboard with the celebrations.
I was there. I know. They had the Master. There was a Master Chief was there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Although, I have to say, there were no stormtroopers.
No, not yet.
I was hoping.
Maybe some year. I don't know.
So, what? How did you get involved?
Well, I've been into latex and that similar fetishes like that for probably 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
I moved out to Vancouver in 2009. I had been to a couple Rubouts before that, and I was just kind of coming out publicly as a Rubberman.
Yeah.
And I just really felt it was an event that really clicked with me, and I wanted to really get involved. And it worked out well because Mitch Kenyon, who was the second organizer of Rubout, Bill Houghton started it in 1992, but Mitch took over it in the early 2000s. He wanted to step down after the 20th anniversary, so he kind of handed it over to myself and two other guys, Doug Mitchell and Rob Pont. So,
cool.
So this year was our very first attempt at running the show on our own.
How's it been going?
It went good. Everyone said it was a fantastic party. We had a few financial objectives we didn't quite make, so that was our little bit of our disappointment. But it was a great learning curve for us this year because we kind of came on with the 20th anniversary, which skewed the trends,
yeah.
And we didn't really know what the numbers were going to be like, what the revenue was going to be like this year. So we and sponsorship and stuff like that as well. Like, everyone was really receptive to the anniversary year. We didn't know how receptive everyone was going to be to the 21st. And it went really well. So we learned so much that we're going to apply next year and make the party even better next year than this one was. So,
well, it is a hell of a party regardless of what year. What's the difference between this party and others? This is a men's event.
Rubout has been men's only since the onset, I believe, at least since it became kind of a larger weekend event. It's kind of one of the main characteristics of it that the organizers have always felt very passionate about keeping it a men's event because it's a fetish and kink event, and the energy with the men in rubber or, you know, the other kinks playing together is just a different energy than a mixed crowd. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's been my experience that a lot of the men are not comfortable playing in a mixed environment. They just aren't. Right or wrong, it's just like, you know, some guys are into leather, some guys are into rubber, some guys are into
both or something else, yeah.
You know, what has been... you also had some guests, some really great guests that have come to various events from all over the country and done some seminars and some talks and some this and that.
We've had, you know, Mr. International Rubber title holders come the last 3 or 4 years, and the rubber community, truth be told, is not the biggest fetish community in the world, and it tends that we all kind of go to the same events and get to know each other really well, so... we tend to support each other's events when they go on. So you get a lot of people, a lot of guys coming in to Vancouver in April every year from the other main centers for rubber and fetish around North America. And even a few guys from Europe come over every year as well. I think they like Rubout because it's more of a party atmosphere. There's no contest. It's just very fun and lighthearted, and they just really that's very attractive to some guys, just especially the rubber guys. Like, rubber has never been a big thing for protocol and titles and stuff like that, because it's, well, first of all, it's a lot more recent fetish than leather, which is, you know, very well established, and, you know, established protocols very early on, whereas rubber never really ever did that. So It just ends up being a really good party, and I think that's why I like organizing it, because it's I like parties and I like organizing parties. So,
well, and I mean, you can say what you want. I mean, you all are definitely the trimmest and shiniest.
Well, it is slimming and lifting, that's for sure. It's like, yes.
So what, I like that part. I have to ask the personal question. I have to ask. What's your favorite rubber outfit, if you had to pick one?
Oh, well, I'm kind of a total enclosure type of guy, so I actually do have a full head-to-toe rubber suit. Makes you look like a shadow.
Wow.
I think that's my favorite. It's also my most expensive, too. But.
Of course, yeah. Well, isn't that always the way?
Yeah.
Your next event is in April again.
Yeah, Rubout 22 is April 12th to 14th, 2013. This year we did a long weekend just to try it out, and I think we're going to go back to just a regular weekend next year. There's a couple of other big rubber fetish events going on Easter weekend every year, and we felt that some of the guys that would normally come here went over to Berlin.
Yeah.
That we hope maybe we can attract them back here next year. So we're just going to keep it a nice weekend off the beaten path a little bit. So it's going to
it's perfect
schedule that way.
You know, it's not too hot, not too cold. Perfect.
Yeah.
So April's a good month for that.
Yeah.
What do you have any sneak preview as to who might be dropping by? Or
well, we now that we're since the 20th anniversary, we're seeing a lot more buzz about Rubout internationally. So we would like to get a little bit more visibility throughout the year. We have applied to march in the parade at Pride, and hopefully have our new theme or mission statement for next year ready to go for that. But I haven't gotten a full response back from Pride Vancouver about that yet.
Response from Pride until a week before Pride last year. So you're fine.
If we don't get to March, we'll probably try and have some kind of party around Pride as well, just to get a bit more visibility. There'll be a lot of out of towners in town and stuff like that. But as far as the people that might be here next year, I'll let you know in November after Mr. International Rubber when I get a chance to go to Chicago and talk to, convince everybody to come up here in April. So.
Where are the top three other places besides Vancouver and Rubout that people go to the big events? Berlin, you said, Chicago.
Berlin's got, they've got a full some Europe, and they've also got an Easter fetish weekend in Berlin, which are very big for the gay man. San Francisco's got Dory Alley, and
you gotta say in Berlin though. I gotta say, it's pretty. There's a lot of woof.
I think it's kind of like a fetish weekend every weekend there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've been told. I've yet to go.
Yeah.
San Francisco is still really big with Folsom and Dory Alley weekends. The Rubbermen tend to congregate there. There's Mr. International Rubber in Chicago every November, which is actually the international title contest.
Right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger every year. They probably get 300 to 500 guys there.
Wow.
From all over the world for that one. Toronto used to have the Fetish Week in August.
Right.
Or
was that Montreal? No, Montreal.
Well, Toronto used to have something, but they're not anymore, but they still have that northbound leather, and I think a lot of the rubber, they tend to have rubber parties around that time as well. And in Montreal, I mean, there's always a good party or two there you can wear rubber to. Mr. American Rubber is in New York City now, but it's kind of just a one-day event. It kind of depends. You get these charismatic, pivotal people that just decide they want to start something in a particular city, and they can kind of get a community growing around them, and I see that kind of happening. There's some guys that are working really hard down in L.A., which is, kind of there. Some guys in Seattle, there's some guys in Denver and Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
It's kind of growing around a little bit.
Well, I got to say, I went to International Drummer down in Tampa and in St. Pete. And as much as I love wearing leather and rubber, I can tell you, that is not the place. Florida is not the place to wear that stuff. I'm sorry.
We had Mr. Florida Rubber up for Rubout this year, and we were talking to him about that a little bit. They have to kind of time their contests and their parties appropriately around the weather.
We showed up at Drummer, and there was actually a hurricane, the edge of a hurricane blowing.
Oh, my.
And it was like, wow, I'm glad I brought my chaps. Get blown out to sea.
Geez. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you know, if someone wants to get some pieces of clothing, they're into that. And they'd like to. Where's a really good place? I know, but.
Are you talking local?
Well, local, or since this is primarily going to go out to Canada. In Canada, where would you recommend?
Polymorph is the rubber manufacturer out of Montreal that supplies everything for Priap.
Hey there, this is Velvet, and Velvet said, take it. Yes, you're thinking outside the boundaries of normal confines of bedroom play, and as someone who's probably used to giving it, why not take it? This also boils down to open your mind. Be a little bit outside the box. Think about different things. We need to get outside, way outside the social confines of what everybody's telling us how you need to be, whether you're a man or a woman. A woman doesn't always have to be submissive. A man doesn't always have to be dominant. Switch that up. See, I'm bringing in all kinds of other different terms from all my previous chats. So take it. Why not try it? Why not try to be the submissive? Why not go that route and see what it's all about? Or if you're submissive, why not be the dominant? You need to understand that things are going to open your mind and try to get you to grow in an area you never thought you would. It's all exciting when you do take things. And when I say take it, generally I'm saying take it from the backside. No, I'm not. I'm saying take it. Take it all around. Because you don't always have to be the one to give it. Why be selfish? Why not be selfish? Do it. Have fun. I'm always the one who likes to have a good time. Why shouldn't you? And a lot of my friends like to do it as well. We all like to have a good time. So we're taking it, we're giving it, we're having a good time doing all these different things. It doesn't mean that you have to be the particular same role model or the same individual that you have always thought and conditioned to believe that you should be. So if someone's got something good to give you, don't you want to take it? I do. Don't you want to give it? I do. It's all good. It's all fun. It's all about you. And once you get going on it and get an open mind, you're going to have a great time. Once again, this is Velvet, and I'm saying give it.
Today, CITR is painting the airwaves rainbow. Starting at 6 a.m., CITR programmers will be producing an entire day of queer content in celebration of Pride season around the world, delivering messages of hope, fun, warning, and whimsy that may also include offensive language, sexual themes, and excessive on-air nudity. Listener discretion is advised, while indiscretions are strongly encouraged.
Hi, this is Barb Snellgrove. You're listening to Queer FM on CITR Radio 101.9 FM Vancouver. What a great way to start your gay.
So, here we are doing our interview transitions. More of a roundtable discussion. And I'm Velvet Steele, and I've got with me Miss Meow and Mr. K, the lovely, fabulous couple here in Vancouver who have also somewhat, I think, gone through a transition, but as a couple. Mr. K, you are, you know, doing your thing there. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it is for you and how it's been going?
It's been going awesome. June 7th will be my 14-month on T anniversary. And I had top surgery just over 2 months ago in Sunrise, Florida with Dr. Garamoni. And all in all, it's been a really good transition with Miss Meow.
That's amazing. I mean, just looking at you, you seem really grounded and really excited about life. And of course, so do you, Miss Meow. Now, T is testosterone, for those who don't know, right?
Yeah.
And you get that regulated just like anybody else. Like, for example, myself on estrogen as a male to female transsexual, going in and getting that analyzed on a regular basis. Do you do the same thing in terms of your levels?
Yeah, it's about every 6 months or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so, I mean, we all know what testosterone does and how lovely of a hormone that is.
Yeah.
So lovely.
Look at those big grins. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it makes us all horny and do all these crazy things.
Does
and...
it ever?
Ooh, do tell.
I don't know. I think I just really like his transition. It's so fitting for me now. Like, every day I'm like, when I was a lesbian, like, I'm so not that way anymore. But I mean, my gender, as well as Kay's, has become, you know, kind of labelless. I can...
Your sexuality.
What did I say? Gender?
Yeah.
My sexuality. Yes.
Yeah.
But I would consider it to be more of, like, an omnisexual thing. And so now, with, like, Kay's transition, I'm like... Yeah, going through what I like to refer to as more like period of preference instead of like a phase, you know what I mean? Like, especially when you are attracted to so many different people, it's like, you know, just here and there.